Good morning. I'm coming to you today from the studio space, but I have tennis in the background. I have spent my summer basically observing and watching a ton of tennis. I think I mentioned this back in July, and it's now the end of August. And we are down to the qualifying rounds of the Open, U.S. Open. I have watched a ton of tennis. I've watched Wimbledon, and I've watched the French Open. I've watched these intermediate-type tournaments, Cincinnati, Toronto. I mean, I've even watched some archives of tennis. And I think the reason I have been drawn, well, I love the game. Okay, I used to play the game, not competitively, but I used to play. And I kind of, you know, it has inspired me to get out on a cool summer day in the morning and, you know, go hit the backboard again with the tennis racket. But, you know, basically what I've been amazed by is the intention and the focus of the players that are coming to the top. Okay, and that's kind of what I've been watching. And their perseverance, of course, and the... what do you call it? Their dedication, you know, their commitment and their belief in the sport, the belief in themselves. And so it's been a real learning experience for me, because to be successful, I think you need all that, not even in just tennis, even in art. And so today, the reason I decided to turn on my recorder is to talk about the art world in relationship to my observations over this summer. And now I'm going to be moving away from the tennis because I kind of get distracted. There's somebody I just learned about today in the tennis world, and is a Denmark player. And I've been really backing Tsitsipas because I just think he's young. He's coming up in the world. He has, I think, what it takes as far as the sincerity in the sport. He loves the sport, you can tell, and he tries to play on all surfaces of, you know, not just be good in one. He likes clay, he likes the hard surface, he's not so great on grass. Well, anyway, this new guy, Rune from Denmark, R-U-N-E, is somebody I just learned about. So I turned him on this morning because he's qualifying for the U.S. Open, so I'll be watching him. He's only 18. And Tsitsipas just turned 23 this month. So, new and upcoming stars in the tennis world, at least on the men. I've been watching some women, too, some new women, because Serena is out, okay? Serena, I'm sorry, she just dumped out of the U.S. Open this morning. And I'm like, you know, she's been on her last legs for a while. You know, she's going to be 40 this September, and she's got injuries, and she's not as fit as she could be, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, so whatever. That's tennis. But what happened for me is, you know, where I'm coming from with this is the juxtaposition is what it's like with the art world. And it came to me this morning when I saw the tennis coach and, yeah, coach of Serena and Tsitsipas. He's been, I'm thinking, geez, I'm like totally blanking on his name right now, but he has his own tennis academy type thing, and his last name is a big long last name with a starts with an M. And what came to me was, because he was the one that mentioned this Rune from Denmark, Holger, I think his name is Holger Rune. And what came to me was, like, these coaches are like collectors or gallery dealers or art dealers. You know, they see investment. They see an artist as their investment. And, I mean, as harsh as that might sound, that's just exactly what the business of tennis is and the business of art is. And, you know, I have fought against that sort of world, if you will, in a lot of ways. to the point of hurting myself at times, you know, hurting my options, because some things I just won't apply to or I won't be part of because it just feels like it goes against my integrity as a person. It would make me a hypocrite at some level. So, you know, let me go back to the tennis world with the art world. It's like the collectors are like the coaches, you know. Collectors, I think, if they believe in their artist and they believe in the artwork of the artist, then they should be supporting and encouraging and promoting and presenting and doing all those things with an upcoming emerging artist that doesn't have, you know, the support, quote unquote, the support of the bigger, larger art world in, say, galleries, museums, and auction houses. And that's what I see some of these tennis coaches, at least, let me see if I can go through here. Tsitsipas and Serena's tennis coach is, holy crimony, let's see. His name is Matun. Oh gosh, I don't know. Let me see if I can find something that I can get back to where I was. I guess I just want to say that I see him promoting his investments. So I saw on his Twitter page that he had, you know, tweeted about Tsitsipas's birthday. Here he is, Patrick Mouratoglou. Patrick Mouratoglou. I think his he's in France, so it's probably Mouratoglou. You know, I don't know. But he is also going into Greece now to partner and, you know, make his tennis kind of camp in a new place outside of France. So anyway, so it's a business, right? But on his page, he basically talks about Serena. He talks about Tsitsipas. He's talking about this runa, having the runa of his life. He has this Mouratoglou Tennis Academy, okay? And he's talking about how he's racking up back-to-back challenger titles and with a big picture of him. And so it just dawned on me that this guy is, you know, the coach, and he's promoting his tennis prodigies, if you will. Tsitsipas, he had a young picture of him and Tsitsipas, and then he has a current photo of him, you know, as the Greek god, and you know, so he's like promoting, right? And I really think that's the same as it is with the art world in collectors. I think I got a phone call. I hope it didn't make my recording go off. But I've been on, on Clubhouse, and I've been listening to some people in the art world, both the traditional gallery-focused art world, the physical world, and also the NFT new digital space. Collectors in both spaces are talking about art, different kinds of art, different kinds of collecting. And it's quite interesting that what I've heard is the success of an artist sometimes comes down to how good is the collector? And where can you be in their collection? I just find it fascinating that there's so many likenesses in this sport that I've been watching all summer. And to actually, you know, facilitating and creating a product, basically. If you come down to it, paintings are a product. And getting, you know, success with your your talent, you know, my talent. And it's just fascinating how those ideas and I guess tools, if you will, work across the lines. You know, I mean, I really have gotten a lot out of watching how people focus and how they use strategies to win these tournaments over this summer. And a lot of it is about marketing as well, and about how they present themselves on the court and what kind of media attention they get. And it's just, there's some, you know, people that get negative attention in the tennis world, and they use that to their benefit. So it's interesting. I'm just fascinated by the whole situation. Not saying how I will actually use any of it in my own work, but I just came to the conclusion that this whole hierarchy in the world of commodity and world of capitalism is pretty much the same, regardless whether you're paying, you know, whether you're, you know, in a world of finance, or if you're playing tennis, or if you're making art, you know, I mean, it's like, a lot of it is the same as far as I can tell. Anyway, that's all I have to say this morning, and I hope it went and I didn't get interrupted. Thanks for listening.
Hey Robin, hey again. I just want to say I've listened to two of your last recordings, and wow, that's kind of my favorite kind of podcasting ever, you know. So big thoughts, small thoughts, random ideas, big ideas, all mixed in a very casual monologue, inner monologue. Thank you for sharing all of it. Wow, I'm very intrigued if you're going to continue like this with this kind of content. Now when you announced that you'll be doing your own trip with cats, I'm very intrigued about that. I cannot recall you ever mentioning that you're teaching, so that was also very interesting to hear. I look forward to hearing more. Thank you for sharing this.
Ah, whoa, boy. I just heard your messages. Yeah, and I'm going to add one to my most current podcast today, because it's exactly, I just made it. I just did my recording, and then I heard your messages. And so, yes, I'm glad you're liking it. I'm going to be just, you know, talking about my process mostly as usual, you know, studio stuff. And my life is basically feeds into everything I do in my work anyway. So yeah, it all relates. And I'm watching the tennis and he's scraping across the court. Anyway, yeah, you know, let me turn this. I think I have it up too hard. So the kitties, yeah, I'm still working on something about how I'm going to train them to be in a car. And teaching is a whole nother topic. Teaching is kind of strange right now because we're coming out of the pandemic. And substitute teaching is really crazy in my district. Right now, they have a lot of long-term sub jobs because I guess they had a hard time getting teachers to stay or come back to this district, which is a whole nother topic. But yes, I've been teaching for about 3 or 4 or 5 years now, since I left the library. It's I think 7 years ago. And it's, you know, part-time because I'm an artist full-time, and basically it's to subsidize, you know, to just keep me afloat here. And but I'm picky about what I go in to teach, and especially after, you know, the first year or two of substituting, I now know where I don't want to go and where I do want to go. And I've had, you know, some art teachers in the high schools request me to come in, you know, when they have something that they're coming up, they give me a text or a phone call or something at times. But that's, some of them have retired now, you know, some of the art teachers at College Park and where else was like doing a lot of work. College Park was the main one. Anyway, it doesn't matter where. So yeah, I'm in between things because I'm at a transitional age, if you will. I don't want to work full time. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm an artist. I have to do that. And also, I'm at a point where I'm not nearly old enough to, you know, have my retirement yet. So I'm like, yeah, trying to figure out my life. That's it. So more shall come. So keep in tune and thank you for your messages. I really appreciate it. I look forward to hearing more from you too, Roy. Okay, take care.